Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Mats Olsson. He's the Deputy CEO of Tsudi Logistics, based in Gothenburg in Sweden. First and foremost, Mats, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much, Paul. Very nice to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. It's good to see you there. I always start by allowing my accused or interviewees a chance to elaborate a little bit on their previous career. How come you got into shipping? Why are you not working in a bank or elsewhere, for example?
Well, I could work at a bank. It almost feels like I'm working at a bank sometimes, if you ask my clients, at least.
That's right.
No, I was almost born and raised into the business, actually, into the world of shipping. Mm-hmm. My father was originally a chief engineer, so a sailor, and later on he moved on to working as a transport manager for the biggest main engine producer in the world. So when I grew up, I always heard his stories from around the world with the heavy lifts and project shipping, and I thought it was interesting. So when I had finished my education or my school back in 2006, I started with GFTS Transport, which later became DSV.
Right.
I was there for 10 years.
Okay.
Before moving on to Tsudi, and that's almost 10 years ago now as well.
Okay, and when did you take up residence in Gothenburg in Sweden?
I moved to Sweden in 2012. Before Sweden, I was a couple of years in the UK, but moved to Sweden because I got a great opportunity within DSV, and then I found my wife to be, and then you know the story.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, very, very, very good. Now, Gothenburg is a nice, as they say in Sweden, on the right coast of Sweden, right?
Yeah, this is the right coast of Sweden, definitely.
Well, the left coast, I should say, the west coast.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
A Dane in Sweden, well, at least we pretty much understand each other there, so it's not such a big cultural change. Tsudi today, Tsudi, perhaps our readers would like to know the name, the origins of the name and ownership, and what can you tell our readers or viewers about the company?
Yeah, so Tsudi, it's a family name, and it is still, the company is still privately owned by the Tsudi family. We have just welcomed the fifth generation of owners into Tsudi. The name originally is Swiss. The Tsudi family immigrated from Switzerland to Norway. In 1883, started Tsudi. Tsudi was a big ship owner throughout the years, and many will probably remember Tsudi Knightsen. Mm-hmm. As a big ship owner.
Yeah.
I am in Tsudi Logistics, and we are focusing on freight forwarding. So no tonnage, no vessels, no nothing. Straight freight forwarding.
Right. So Tsudi is a family group, and that also means, of course, hopefully that since it's family owned, you can take quick decisions. If you want to do this, you can kind of get an instant reply. You don't have to wait for shareholders, I suppose.
Exactly. So that's obviously one of what I think is a big advantage of being in a smaller family-owned company, that you are more agile and able to make quick decisions.
Well said. Logistics, that means you also do project logistics. You make heavy lifts around the world. I mean, especially with your background, I should say.
Tsudi is obviously we're a niche forwarder, so we focus on the niche. And one of the niches that we do focus on is project cargo, of course.
Yeah.
And with our today 7 offices in Northern Europe, we We do believe that Nordic approach that we still have is very appreciated and a little bit unique, also in terms of geographical coverage, where you don't see many in our segment being having own offices across most of Northern Europe.
Right. And of course, in Sudi, I suppose you compete with all of the big guys. I mean, everyone against everyone. How do you feel nowadays? You know, some ship owners, they want to be the jack of all trades and be forwarders, just like you say you are, and directly compete with you. Do you feel that some of these ship owners will be successful in countering the forwarder, or do they have a chance on this? What do you think?
I don't really. I mean, obviously, in the container industry, then the ship owners want to approach the customers directly. But I don't really feel that in our segment it has made a big difference yet. That also being said, as the big forwarders grow bigger,
Yeah.
I only believe there will be even more space for the smaller niche forwarders as well.
Yeah, because more
Because
personal.
I don't believe all the customers will necessarily want to only deal with all the big players.
No, I just heard last week that one of the medium-sized forwarders in Finland won a very big contract into Brazil, competing both with Deutero and Maersk Logistics. I think
Yeah.
you know the one. So I would say.
I'm very aware of that project, and we were tendering for that as well.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. So there is hope for us, shall we say, us small and medium-sized forwarder. That's good to hear. Where in Northern Europe, just to elaborate to our viewers who only think that Northern Europe starts or stops in Hamburg, can you tell us where you are in the Northern Europe?
Yeah, of course. So we're obviously headquartered in Oslo in Norway. Then we have offices in Finland, Estonia, Sweden, where I am, Poland, Germany, and the Netherlands as well.
Yeah, that's pretty good coverage on this whole area. Do you still you mentioned Sudi and Aitzen before you were ship owners. Do you still run some smaller vessels nowadays, or in your group that you can take advantage of, or are you free on the market, so to speak, to use whoever you want?
So today we're not a ship owner, but we have kept the knowledge of ship management within the group. So the Tjudi Group stands on kind of two legs. One of the legs is Tjudi Logistics, where I'm employed. The other leg is Tjudi Ship Management, where we offer technical commercial management to ship owners.
Okay, that's also interesting. Yeah, I noticed your name from time to time. I also see some of your postings on LinkedIn with quite some impressive projects. I mean, it can be
Thank
from
you.
anywhere to anywhere. Norway is, of course, a big dragon with oil and gas and let's say lots of wealth there. Your organization in Norway, are you into oil and gas as well, and terminals, and or how is your organization there from logistics standpoint?
No, we're not.
Okay.
In Norway, we're doing a lot of beverage transports, which is not really project logistics whatsoever. But we transport a lot of beverages into Norway. And then we also do projects in Norway.
Okay.
But we're not heavily involved in oil and gas.
All right. Got it. It's just that, when people say Norway, that's the first thing they think, just like Saudi,
Of
right?
course.
So,
Exactly.
in Sweden, can you mention to our viewers, perhaps some are not in detail, perhaps, but some of the heavy lifts you've made or projects you have executed from Sweden to somewhere in recent times?
I can do that. So we as a Swedish entity works with the Swedish clients foremost. But cargo could be from anywhere to anywhere in the world. We would more often transport cargo outside of Sweden, really than within Sweden.
Ah, yeah. So the Swedish manufacturer, but he's producing it elsewhere, but it's
Maybe
getting
in
popular.
China or wherever. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
The
Right.
usual, as we say.
Exactly.
And then you have contacts abroad where you don't have own offices that you then use, long-term relationships that you work with. And
Yeah, we're trying to establish some strategic partnerships, preferably with forwarders similar-ish to ourselves, maybe a regional player
yeah.
that is specifically strong in Southeast Asia, where there's a little bit of give and take, so we can support each other. And I believe that's the advantage of being in a smaller company, that you're not locked by your own branded network, so to speak. That we are a little bit more free to choose.
Yeah, no, I've heard that song also before. I've heard some friends I have in big forwarding companies, they actually hate to work with their own offices. So if they could, they would use somebody else. But so yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on there. You have the flexibility and freedom. And let's say that strategic partner or regional partner you have, you can change if their service level goes down. So you are free. You are not in a straitjacket, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. How do you feel? We spoke a little bit about the shipping lines earlier. How is the customer service from them nowadays? I've heard a lot of people complaining about that. Do you feel the same? You have to do everything online. Do they ever invite you out or have a talk with you? Do they ever come to visit you? What's the situation right now?
Yeah, I think it's very much as you describe. Everything is being handled online. It's difficult to get a hold of a real person somewhere, but unfortunately, that's the way the shipping lines wish to work. So I remember the days 20 years ago when you could always get hold of someone, and there were a lot more container shipping lines to choose from, by the way. But those days are gone.
Unfortunately so, but let's put it this way, let them keep on providing that, then at least there's still room for the niche forwarders, like you say, to soften that service level. How would you say is the competition and the market tougher now than you feel before after Corona? How do you see the market for you and in your segment?
I mean, Chile is doing quite well, and luckily we have more countries to kind of distribute everything on, and some years are good in some countries and some years are good in other countries, but all in all, I don't feel the big consolidation in the market or really the ship owners chasing our clients. I don't see that on our numbers, at least.
Okay, but that's I'm very happy
So
to hear.
I do believe some customers still want that personal service that we are willing to offer them in comparison to that online booking tool, or the customer service being available from 9 to 9 to 3 or something like that.
It's like a bank, as we said, or the embassy. Something like that. No, I fully agree with you. That's we just have, but we have to also, of course, hang in there. I suppose the advantage that some of the ship owners can make is that they can act like a bank and give longer credit time, for example. So they are not competing on the service, but they can, for example, give 3 months credit, I suppose, as a marketing tool. But good that you are here. And what can you tell us about your organization in Sweden, your headcount? Do you go out and visit customers a lot? How is your home market there?
Yeah, obviously we want to provide that personal service and be available for our clients. You can find all of our employees' direct contacts on our website, and we wish to be where the clients are. So we try to see the clients as much as possible. I think face to face is the best communication there is in the world. I do try to travel to see clients as much as I can, really. But that has changed over the years as well. I mean, it is more difficult to get a sit down with a client than it was maybe 10 years ago, I feel.
Now, well, you're still young compared to me, but I think we still chew some of the same dirt, so to speak, going out and meeting customers compared to, of course, it's smart. You and I can sit like this online, but once you sit with a customer, you will always say a bit more. You can see people's, mimic a lot.
Exactly. You can get a lot of signals from a face-to-face meeting that you could never get in even a Zoom call
Yeah,
with.
no. It's I although I must say Corona for sure, as being old school, I hardly knew about video calls before, but Corona of course made this possible, and I'm sitting now in Chile and you're sitting in Gothenburg. I have to say it's quite smart, but still it doesn't
Definitely.
beat the real thing. I should say that mountain behind me, that's not the view I have. I can see a volcano here, but it's not, there's no snow on it, so
Okay.
and
Well,
so
spring is coming to you now,
Yes,
so while winter is coming here.
that's why I'm very happy to talk to you at a distance. What's in the future cards for you at Tsudi, Mats, and how? What are your plans for Sweden? Keep on as you do, and just hang in there. Or any other plans?
We are a decent size in Sweden. We're currently 7 employees in the Swedish entity. And as a niche project for water, in a country the size of Sweden, that is quite a good number, of course. Then if we would want to move into other niches, then we would need other experts on board, of course. But we would rather try to develop some of the other countries where we're currently present and obviously expand further in Europe.
So that means any, no job is too small or too big for you. I mean, if I have 500 kilo of air freight, or if I have a heavy lift of 200 tons, you can do both. I mean, you are not.
You're welcome any day, Bo.
Okay, oh, but that's good. So you take it all and you specialize and you provide the niche service that is so lacking many places. That's really good to know. I must say, Mats, excellent, not only because we know each other from before, but also to see you again and hear the latest developments. I want to say formally many thanks for this good interview.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Mats Olsen. He's the Deputy CEO of Tsudi Logistics, based in Gothenburg, Sweden, and certainly a guy you can speak to with his background and experience if and when you ever have any project or other logistics-related inquiry to and from Scandinavia or elsewhere in the world. For me at Project Cargo Weekly, many thanks and do keep in touch. Thank you.